Turn to John chapter 14 this morning. This is just a springboard. I at first thought this was going to be a message, but I believe it's going to be a series of messages. And I just want to follow the Lord and see where he wants to take us. In John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking, and he said to his disciples, he's getting ready to go away, and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," he said, "are many mansions." He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Well, I like that, don't you? You say, "How you know he's coming again?" Well, he said he is. That's good enough for me right there. Amen. He said, "I will come again." And he said, "When I do, I got something I'm going to do. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." If you go to the prayer of the Lord Jesus, I believe that was, what was the text there? Is it? I'm trying to remember now. It slipped my memory. Somebody help me this morning. Where is Jesus actually praying? What chapter is it? I'm not going to look. Y'all are going to help me a little bit this morning. Where is it that he's actually praying to the Father? Where is it? 17. That's right, brother. Thank you. I didn't look, but you're right. When he's praying to the Father, when he gets over there towards the end of his prayer, he says, "Father, I will that they be with me where I am." And honey, it ain't going to be long till that will's going to be fulfilled. God's people are going to be with him where he is. He prayed over and over that we would be one, just like he and the Father were one. Then we go on down, and this is where John chapter 14, this is where the message is going to come from. And verse 4, he said, "Whether I go, you know." And I want you to notice these next two words. This is where the message is going to come from. He said, "And the way, you know." The way, you know. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest." And here's the title of the message: "How can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I want to begin this morning and end, I don't know when, but preaching on this subject: how can we know the way? You want to know why America's in trouble? America has lost her way. You want to know why churches are in trouble? Because churches have lost their way. Here's one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas, and he said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Boy, Jesus gives it to him, don't he? He said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." By the way, our country was founded on that principle. Even the people that drew up the Constitution knew it was a waste of time without righteousness, without a Bible, without God-fearing people. Amen. Let's pray together, and I want to dive in this morning to this message: how can we know the way? Father, thank you this morning for the blessed privilege to stand in this place, break the bread of life. God, there may be someone under the sound of our voice this morning that doesn't know the way. Lord, I do pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, may it humble us this morning. I was listening last week, Lord, to a group sing on the radio so beautifully. I have found the way. I have found the way. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I have found the way. Lord, I thank you this morning for the word of God. Pray you'd bless it. Help us. God, help us, Lord, to, bear others' burdens. And Lord, so fulfill the law of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to look this morning, first of all, at a thought, the salvation that we find in the way. Just by way of introduction, I won't go to the verses, but there are verses in the book of Acts where that God's people were talked about being of that way. It was not always said in a positive manner. As a matter of fact, when the people were first called Christians at Antioch, they were not trying to do them a favor. They were actually trying to degrade and demean those people that were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I'll say this morning. There's a lot going on in our country to try to degrade and demean those that are born again believers. Christianity as a whole is under attack, but a lot of what's being called Christianity is not Christianity at all, but it's just Christendom. It's just religion that falls under the title of Christianity. I'm glad this morning I have something more than a title. I don't just have the title of being a Christian, but I have a title to a mansion in the sky. Amen. I'm going to move in one day after a while with the Lord. The salvation that's in the way. I think it was Brother James that left the newspaper article in my mailbox. And God has a way of just fitting everything together. You believe that? And I haven't read the article. I've just read the caption, saw the picture. But there's a pastor in Johnson City, after pastoring for 25 years, has decided that he's an atheist now. He's denounced his faith and decided that he was going to join up with that crowd. You know what I want to say? Read the book of 1 John. They went out from us. They were not all of us. Therefore, they went out from us because they were not all of us. First thing I said when I looked at the article was this. He didn't have anything to start with. All he had was religion. I'm going to tell you something right now. Religion will wear you out and religion will wear you down. But hallelujah, a relationship with Jesus Christ will never end. Amen. I tell you what a lot of people need. They need a new birth. They need to be born again. They need a Savior. Amen. This morning, as we look at the salvation that's in the way, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 3. Never had really thought about this until the Lord began to deal with my heart about this message. And actually, probably one of the last points in the series is where the message began brewing in my heart. But I'm just backing up and going through the Bible. And the most important thing, I believe, when Thomas said, how can we know the way? He's talking about the way from earth to glory. The way from our house to God's house. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'll show you something here. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I would encourage you to do that this afternoon. You know, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. What did he do? He come to the woman. He come to Eve. You say, why did he do that? Ladies, let me say this to you this morning. This pastor loves you with all of his heart. But God said, that's the weaker vessel. Amen? That don't make you the lesser vessel. That's just the way God set it up. Amen? And we've been in trouble ever since we've been searching out all this equality.
Honey, there's some things a man can do that a woman can't do. And hallelujah, there's a lot of things a woman can do that a man can't do. God made us different. Male and female created He them. And I don't reckon in the New Testament that changed. Just found out the other day that our 10th grandchild is going to be Amelia Kate. Well, glory to God, you don't have to wonder what gender she is with a name like that. You say, what are you going to do with Amelia? Same thing I've done with Olivia. I'm going to spoil her the best way I know how. Amen. Full-time job for a papaw. Sawyer ain't far behind. Amen. He's starting to coo a little bit and interact a little bit, and I love every minute of it. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. The Bible said right here, He came to the woman. He wanted an inroad. Listen, the Bible said here, He caused her to, the Bible said, the woman said to the serpent, first of all, she shouldn't have even entered into the conversation. You get to talking with the serpent, you'll end up in trouble. We shouldn't even enter into that conversation with the devil. And the fruit of the tree said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, serpent said to Eve, God's holding out on you. There's something over here that, you know, you're just missing out. Because God said you can't eat of that tree. He said, preacher, I don't understand what that's got to do with the way. I'll show you in a minute. I'll show you. And the word of God said here, the woman, she saw the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit. She did eat. She gave it to her husband with her. And he did eat. Say, preacher, what happened? They fell into sin. They disobeyed God. Amen. And after that, the Word of God said the whole human race in Adam all die. All have sinned. The Bible said there, over there, I believe it was in the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse number 12. The Bible talked about how that in Adam, we're all sinners and we've come short of the glory of God. Now listen to me. You say, preacher, what's Genesis 3 got to do with John chapter 14? You remember the curse? Adam's going to be cursed. His forehead, he's going to sweat. The woman's going to be cursed with pain. Adam called his wife Eve in verse number 20. Look at verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. I'm not real smart. But if you've got a coat made out of an animal skin, an animal had to give his life in order to make that coat. So God was saying, listen, there's going to be a price required for sin. It's going to be blood. I believe that Cain and Abel were taught that by their mother and father. Now listen, let's go on just a minute. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Watch this. This will help you if you'll let it. God is saying, listen, there was the possibility that if they stayed in the Garden of Eden, they could have taken of the tree of life and thereby lived forever. So what did God do? He put them forth from the garden. Let's read it here. The Bible said in verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so he drove out the man. And he placed at the east. It looks like God's mean, don't it? God drove him out. And no, God's not mean. God is merciful. That's what God is. The Bible said here, he drove out the man. He placed the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep, what's the next two words? To keep the way of the tree of life. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm going to heaven. Not because of the fruit that hung on a tree in a garden, but because of a father that gave his son on a tree at Golgotha, on Calvary. That's why I'm going to heaven this morning. God put him forth from the garden because he said, listen, That's not going to be the way anymore. The way is going to cost blood. The way is going to be a blood-bought way. The way is going to be a Calvary way. The Bible said here in Acts chapter 26 and verse 13, Paul is giving his testimony. He said, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. You know what old Paul did? He got out of the wrong way and he got in the right way on the road to Damascus. There was a light. Amen. Let me give you some things this morning. A lot of people don't want to hear this. I believe I'm talking to a crowd that does want to hear it. But I believe several things I want to say about the way. Number one, the way is exclusive. You say, preacher, what do you mean about that? There's only one. There's only one. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. And he said this, few there be that find it. Let me tell you something right now. Even our religious world today doesn't believe that the way is exclusive. They believe there are many religions. There are many ways to get to heaven. All you got to do is be sincere. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been sincerely wrong about something? You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Beloved, you say, preacher, how do you know you're right? Because God's right. And I believe what God said. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm one of them. He said, I'm the way. He said, I'm the truth. He said, I'm the lie. And then he says this, just in case you're still wondering about it, whether it's exclusive or not. He said, no man, not one of these boys, not one of these girls, not one of these teenagers, not one mom, not one dad, no man comes to the Father. But, which means except by me. It's an exclusive way. You say, preacher, you'll never be popular preaching like that. God's men never started preaching to be popular. Jeremiah wasn't worried about being popular. John the Baptist wasn't worried about being popular. Isaiah wasn't worried about being popular. Honey, I tell you, Paul was never popular. And you'll never be popular preaching the Word of God. But the Bible said it's an exclusive way. One way from here to heaven. That's through Jesus. You say, preacher, you're narrow-minded. Well, I'm not alone. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I tell you what, that's some pretty good company right there when you're agreeing with Him. Let me give you some things. Number two, the way is inclusive. Not only is the way exclusive, but the way is inclusive. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you mean. Well, if you look around just in this auditorium, you go over in the children's church to my left or the children's church to my right. You look around and you say, preacher, what do you mean the way is inclusive? Here's what I mean. God said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life. Listen, there's people in this church that have a lot of money. There's people in this church that don't have any money. There's people in this church that live in a nice house. There's people in this church that don't even have a house. You say, preacher, what do you mean? They're maybe renting off of somebody else. You say, preacher, you making difference? I know. I'm trying to tell you. Thank God Almighty at Calvary. God said it's an inclusive way. Everybody can come this way. He didn't say come. You have a good education. And if you don't have a good education, you can't come. It doesn't matter. Education doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter. Our standing in life doesn't matter. Are you listening to me? Oh, I thank God this morning that at Calvary the way is inclusive. God said, whosoever will, let him come. I heard a man say something the other day. He was talking about the need. Well, it was Donald Trump. He was talking about the need for technical schools in America. And he said this. He said, everybody's not real smart. He said, everybody's not good at history. He said, but there are people that can fix a car. You know what I believe? I believe with all of my heart, the person fixing a car or the plumber or the carpenter or the electrician, everybody has a gift, and some can use their hands, some can use their brains, but God wants to use them all and include them. Include them in His family. Let me say this to you. I believe with all my heart the way is inclusive. I don't believe I can walk up to somebody and say, you know what? Jesus died for everybody except you. I can't do that. I wouldn't do that because he said he gave his life a ransom for all. Thank God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You say, preacher, this is elementary preaching. You hang on a few minutes, honey. I'm telling you what's the truth. There's people missing the elementary, trying to live in high school and college, and ain't never nailed down first grade math. Jesus said the way is exclusive. It's inclusive, whosoever will. Let me give you this. The way is elusive. What do you mean by that? There's a lot of people missing it. It's eluding a lot of people. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm going to give you some things this morning. You stay with me just a few minutes, will you? Listen to what the Lord put in my heart. The Bible said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. How many's in that way? Many. Many. So that means the way that I'm preaching about, Thomas said, how can we know the way? The way of salvation is eluding, Brother Gale, many. There's a broad way that's leading to destruction. Now listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Stay with me this morning. Listen to what the Bible said. Isaiah 57:14 said, and they shall say, cast ye up. Cast ye up. Prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. The way of peace, Isaiah 59:8. They know not, and there is no judgment in their goings, and they have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. You say, preacher, how can a person know if the way, Jesus, the way of salvation, has eluded them? Number one, they will not know peace. Honey, you can there's a lot of things you can get at the drugstore. You can get it at the grocery store. You can get it at the five and dime. Help me. But I tell you, there's only one way to get peace. And that's at the foot of the old rugged cross. You must be born again. Listen, the Bible said in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. See that way? But the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, Jesus is not the only way. He's just the only way to heaven. There's all kinds of ways that seem right. There's a broad way that just leads to destruction. There's a lot of people going in at that way. Listen to what I read. A businessman, he was well known for his ruthlessness in business. He once announced to the writer Mark Twain, he said, before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I'm going to climb up on Mount Sinai and I'm going to read the Ten Commandments out loud from the top. Mark Twain said, I have a better idea. You could stay in Boston and keep them. This guy had it in his mind that if he could go to the Holy Land and go up on Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments. Honey, listen, you say, preacher, that's far-fetched. You'd be surprised how many things are far-fetched in this generation that we live in. How many people think they have a hope of heaven because Papa was a preacher? Some because Mama was a preacher. That's exactly right. Sad, but there's people, the way is eluding them. The Bible said in Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3:17, and the way of peace have they not known. What I'm about to share with you, I wrote it down. Why? Because I didn't want to forget it, number one. And number two, I didn't want to get out of bounds. I wanted to stay in bounds. So I wrote it down. Here's what I want to read to you. The Catholic Church takes a strong stand against abortion and gay marriage. How many of y'all understand that? They take a strong stand, a pro-life stance, and they take a strong stance that a man and a woman constitutes a marriage. Yet, in a recent poll, I'm talking about recent, 57% of Catholics are supporting a presidential candidate who believes it is the mother's choice to abort her baby, even if it's in the late term. Supposedly, out of concern for the mother's health. It's quiet. Needs to be. There are reports that many in the Catholic Church no longer view the stance of the church on abortion and gay marriage in keeping with mainstream society. Let me tell you something right now. I just got to stop and interject something right here. Be a cold day where the booger man lives when this pastor's first concern is keeping and with the mainstream of this society. This poll seems to reflect that. The Democratic vice presidential nominee has stated such on his stand with gay marriage. He, in other words, has stated, well, I know where the church stands, but I don't stand there. Let me remind us of something this morning, that God is pro-life. He said, preacher, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble with a good one. I'm in trouble. I'll tell you, I'm standing in good company with the God of heaven. If I'm in trouble, he's in trouble. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Let me remind you this morning, God is pro-life, and that God said sodomy is an abomination. He's not changing his mind for the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, or the Methodist Church, or any other church. God's not changing his mind. What's happening in our country reveals that there are many who are religious, but at the same time, do not know nothing or anything of the way that I'm preaching about this morning. In this way, the way of salvation, honey, the sinner lines up with the Savior. The Savior don't line up with the sinner. When a man gets born again, the Savior doesn't line up with the sinner, but the sinner lines up with the Savior. Now, wait a minute. Maybe some could get by right there. Let me make it a little bit stronger than that. When a sinner lines up with the Savior, a sinner lines up with the Scripture. Oh, you say, preacher, I line up with the Savior, but I don't line up with the Scripture. You're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Honey, if you don't line up with this old book, you're not lined up with the God of heaven. That song, Brother Ralph, you've probably heard it. I have found the way. I have found the way. Glory, hallelujah. I have found the way. What a blessing it is to be in the way. Proverbs 13:15 said, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. I'm going to close with this morning. In 1981, a Minnesota radio station reported a story about a stolen car in California. The police were staging an intense search for the vehicle and the driver, even to the point of placing announcements on the local radio stations to contact the thief. On the front seat of the stolen car was a box of crackers that, unknown to the thief, were laced with poison. The car owner had intended to use the crackers as rat bait. Now the police and the owner of the Volkswagen Bug were more interested in apprehending the thief to save his life than to recover the car. So often when we run from God, we feel as to escape his punishment. But what we're actually doing is eluding his rescue. Honey, you and I have been poisoned by sin. I'm standing in this pulpit today preaching to you that there's only one cure. That's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Years ago, things were a lot stricter than they are now. Years ago, they didn't care so much about being politically correct. If you made the grade, you went from the first grade to the second grade. And if you didn't make the grade, you stayed in the first grade. Now they want to give a trophy to everybody, win, lose, or draw. You know I'm telling it right. But I'm going to tell you something right now. In the realm of Christendom, there's a whole lot of people that think they're in high school. And they've never graduated from first grade. You say, preacher, how could I know that? Number one, the way of peace they have not known. Honey, Jesus said, I'm the way. He said, I am the truth. He said, I am the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Brother Rose, I suppose when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't suppose I know I'll be guilty of a lot of things. Honey, your pastor's not perfect. He's as flawed as any man in shoe leather. But Brother Preston, there's one thing I don't want to be guilty of. And that's covering over the fact that in order to go to heaven, you must be born again. There's no other way. The songwriter said, there is no other way but through the blood of Jesus. There is no other way. Beloved, this morning, Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Brother Gale, I'm glad I know where he went. I'm glad I know what he done when he got there. You said, now, preacher, he's probably still working on that place. Well, if he spoke this into existence, I'd say it didn't take him long. When he went there to prepare a place for us. And see, I not only know what he's done before he went, what he done after he went, but I know what he's going to do when he comes back. Amen. He's going to get your sweet wife. Give her a new body. Raise her up even with us, Brother Gale. Amen. And then take us all to glory on the same load. You say, preacher, surely you don't believe all that stuff. Honey, that ain't stuff. That's scripture. That's truth. Don't be calling the Bible stuff. Amen. That's a truth. Amen. Turn it into a dance hall, Brother Gale, if we don't believe that. Take the pews out. Kick up your heels. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die if we don't believe that. How many's glad we do believe that? Brother Kevin, I think I know you well enough to know. You can't force anything on them girls. But honey, you're going to blaze a trail that leads to Calvary. You're not going to try to lead them to the Baptist church. You're going to try to lead them to Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. I have found the way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to preach the gospel. Lord, thank you for dying for us. Thank you, Lord, you didn't stay dead. But the third day you rose again, just like the Bible said. Lord, I'm convinced that there are many in this day and in this hour that have never touched first base, never been born again, never known the way of peace. Lord, I'm reminded years ago when that GMC emblem that was coming right towards my driver's door in that snowstorm, I knew he was going to hit me. I knew he was going to hit me hard. And I knew that in a moment, I could be with Jesus. God, I can't even begin to describe the peace that was in my heart that day. All because of a Savior that took my place on an old rugged cross. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Lord, this morning, I pray, if there's one here that's not in that way, they might be like Thomas. Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said, Thomas, listen up, son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God, it is my prayer that not one person from this church would end up in the region of the damned. But Lord, around the throne of God, when you come again, our family, our Bible Way family, will be complete around the throne. In Jesus' name.